again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. This merchant man seeking goodly pearls, precious pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl of great price. Price here is talking about cost. And that is John Wesley. When he also caught a revelation, he was already a preacher, he was already in the missionary field. That is why he's referred to as a merchant man. He's already into the business of buying. He caught a revelation. We are again, it is in this same field. What was it? He found, without holiness, no man will see God. You want to see God? Then clean up yourself first. Without holiness, no man will see God. He said it is of great price, because if you are going to live a holy life, it will cost you so many things. It will cost you the way you want to appear. You can't appear like that anymore. Certain places you go, you cannot go anymore. Certain things you eat and drink, you cannot eat and drink them anymore. Certain company, you can't keep that company anymore. Certain things that you were doing before, that is the cost. That is the cost. That is the price for this great pair. Until you see the need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you won't seek it desperately. Salvation must be appreciated. It must be valued. If you don't see the value of salvation, you will not appreciate it. Therefore, God, first and foremost, He will let you first know the value. He does something and puts a desperation in you. He causes you to see a revelation, to see the need for eternal life. The need. And this comes about by your knowledge or revelation of God's divine agenda of what will happen if you don't go in the rapture. Listen, hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and verse 45, two parables there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Treasure. That lets me know that for you to find eternal life, you will look for it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure that is hid in a field. It's hidden unto you. It is hidden, but unto you it is given to know. It's not for everybody. Now see what happened. Because it is hidden, the which, when a man has found, after he sought and he found, what does he first do? He hide, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. And that is the story of Luther. That was the fifth church age. He got the revelation that the way they were serving God in the Catholic system before was wrong. When what he was looking for in the Catholic Church, that he did not find peace, he did not find rest, there was still a void inside of him. He looked for it. It was hidden somewhere. Where is that field that is hidden? It's here in the Word of God. It's here. It's written there. It's here. The day it is quickened to you, you have found it. Hallelujah. Now, it's not just finding it. He does something. He selects all that he had to buy it. When you are buying something, you are now owning it. You are now personalizing it. It becomes your own revelation. Nobody taking it away from you again. And that is the essence of many people who come across this end time message. As I was listening to the man that Bright TV was showing this morning, the interview from Cross River, also author, and how he came across. He said he went to a Bible college, Anglican minister, missionary, or whatever you call it. He was given even a little church because he was not yet reverend, all those ones. And he said he went there and he single-handedly raised the church, little flock, and built the church without help from anywhere. He had to go to Bible school. He said he did not. He went while he was in the Bible college to package himself. He said one day in the Bible college, said a voice spoke to him, "You don't belong here." And he said he told the bishop, "This is what I'm hearing. Why will he say I don't belong here? They are thinking that it is your ministry. Maybe we should find a place else to put you, not the way you want to go." And from that time, no more peace. That is the treasure he was looking for. If I don't belong here, then where do I belong? There was a void. You can imagine somebody who sincerely wants to worship God. Until he came one day across the Bright television and heard what was preaching, and he knew, this is where I belong. Hallelujah. And he resigned from that place. He said, and now they have sent a reverend, an ordained reverend, to go and pastor the church. And he has to leave to go and now start preaching this truth somewhere. They are gathering there again now. That is the reason why, as few as they are, every month they gather offering for this Bright television. Because it is through this Bright television he found that treasure he was looking for. Church, clap your hand for all those supporting this Bright television. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. This merchant man seeking goodly pearls, precious pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl of great price. Price here is talking about cost. And that is John Wesley. When he also caught a revelation, he was already a preacher, he was already in the missionary field. That is why he's referred to as a merchant man. He's already into the business of buying. He was already into the business of marketing and buying. Merchant. He caught a revelation. We are again, it is in this same field. What was it? He found, without holiness, no man will see God. So that you understand why we precede the baptism of the Holy Ghost with consecration. You want to see God? Then clean up yourself first. Without holiness, no man will see God. That was all that he said. It is of great price, because if you are going to live a holy life, it will cost you so many things. It will cost you the way you want to appear. You can't appear like that anymore. Certain places you go, you cannot go anymore. Certain things you eat and drink, you cannot eat and drink them anymore. Certain company, you can't keep that company anymore. Certain things that you were doing before, that is the cost. That is the cost. That is the price for this great pearl that he found. And he's not the only one. They are not the only ones. When it was time also, God put the burden again on a group of Americans. that was spearheaded by William Seymour. The desire more of God. The desire more of God. Read the story. Come and see the fasting they were doing. Come and see they abandoned their homes. Go and sit down somewhere crying, Lord, give us the Holy Ghost. Lord, give us the Holy Ghost. Why didn't they just sit down and just receive? It is also something that goes with a price. As they had panted after the water brooks. Psalm 42 verse 1 says so. So panted my soul after thee, O Lord. It went with a desperation. Desperation. Why? You can only go desperate when you see the need for it. Until you see the need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you won't seek it desperately. And enter message. Listen very well. Hey! Predestination, Abby. Predestination. I am saved from the foundation of the world. Those who will be saved, God will save them, Abby. It is by foreknowledge that the book of life was produced. Foreknowledge of what? Foreknowledge of your attitude to the things of salvation. When God wants you, salvation must be appreciated. It must be valued. If you don't see the value of salvation, you will not appreciate it. Therefore, God, first and foremost, He will let you first know the value. He does something and puts a desperation in you. He causes you to see a revelation, to see the need for eternal life. The need. And this comes about by your knowledge or revelation of God's divine agenda of what will happen if you don't go in the rapture. When you see the danger that awaits this earth, you will sit down there. After all, He did not tell anybody that your name is written in the book of life. God has not allowed us to see the book. Amen. But we will know them by their attitude towards the things of God. Hallelujah. We know them by their attitude towards the things of God. And that attitude is what God in His foreknowledge, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before Adam and Eve was created, before you were ever thought of, He, God, has already known you. He knows that the day He will reveal what salvation is all about, He will reveal His mercy. He will reveal redemption, the estate of man, and how His loving kindnesses and mercies projected so much love to save you. He knows how you will respond. Therefore, He put your name there. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You are not desperate to go to heaven. It is evidence your name is not in the book of life. You sit down. Oh, glory be to God. You sit down and say, those who will be saved, they will be saved. Yes, those who will be saved, they will be saved. But how will they be saved? They will go through the process of salvation. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Abraham was given a revelation first before you can ever make up a decision to go to heaven. It is not a gift that you will receive. It's not vision you see. It is not the healing and deliverance anointing. It's not oratory gift to preach the gospel. Then you will say, I'm married to Jesus. I am going. What God will first do to you is to give you a revelation of what is ahead. Concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Concerning Christ, how did He put it? You know, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured. There was something He saw. For the joy, He saw His future. If I submit myself, and become a true lamb of God, obediently I will become King of Kings. All authority will be given to me. I will be the author and finisher of life. See where I will be. All authority that the Father has, He will give it to me. What? He said, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Abraham was given a revelation of a city. He looked all around Canaan land and the whole places. He knew that, Lila, this cannot be the city. His mind was focused on that city. And let's read what Hebrews chapter 11 says concerning that. From verse 8. By faith, by revelation, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. But there was a revelation he got. That made him to walk out like that, they go. Where that city is, he don't know. But just they go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. It was his land of promise. So, listen, church. The land of Canaan is a land of promise. Church, you also have prophecies of wealth. Prophecies of breakthrough. Prophecies of financial breakthrough. Prophecies of houses. Prophecies of everything. In fact, prophecy to even become president, governor one day. And here he is in that land. Yet, I read it again. By faith is sojourned in the land of promise. As in a strange country. He still believed that he was still a stranger here. Dwelling in tabernacles here. Tent. With all his wealth. Tent. With Isaac and Jacob. The heirs with him of the same promise. Why? Verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And do you know the city he looked at? It is the New Jerusalem. And do you know that New Jerusalem? It is the bride of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ, we are built upon a special foundation. It is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He saw what he saw, symbolically revealed to him. He didn't understand. It was not meant for him. Go to verse 13. He mentioned all that. Then he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and we are persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. That is the attitude we must put up. That is the only thing that will help us not to be distracted in our focus. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We are looking for rapture. Our country is that rapture. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country, an heavenly. Wherefore God, you see now, I love this statement. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And that city is that heavenly Jerusalem. That city is the bride of Jesus Christ. That city is the new Jerusalem. That city is God's dwelling place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 24. Another witness is there. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In a palace, slaves, a slave has been adopted to be the heir of Egypt. But he had a revelation. Oh, glory be to God. He had a revelation. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's everything we have is for a season. It's for a season because one day somebody will rise up and say, this Moses, you are not a true Egyptian. And they will demote him, even kill him there. Verse 26. What was he doing? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there is something better ahead than to stay here and identify with the world. No matter what position they will give him. Egypt, a type of the world. And so from verse 36 again, he says, and others, other witnesses, who have this same hope that we have, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourges, and we are beating them. They were mocking them. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Carry a human being. Tear them into two. We are tempted. We are slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. For what? They were ready to go through that because there is a joy that is set before us. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these witnesses, having obtained a good report through faith, they even received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. Can you imagine that? That they without us should not be made perfect. That's why the rapture has not taken place. He's waiting to collect us. They went through all that, and yet God, they say, wait, others are coming. And these others is you and I. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the whole essence of this period. In Hebrew chapter 12, after he had given that admonishment, he needed to say this. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Brethren, the Christian faith is a race from earth to glory. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. After all, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Grace. We are now in grace. Until Apostle Paul had to tell Titus in Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. There is a grace that brings salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a grace that does not bring salvation. Am I saying something? Oh. I wish it is a lawyer that is breaking this down for us. Because that language there is technical. There is a grace that bringeth salvation. There is another grace that has no salvation attached to it. And that is what many Christians are enjoying and thinking that they are Christians. This is how the grace that bringeth salvation requires. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What is he doing? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are peculiar people. We are not ordinary people. We are peculiar. We are peculiar. We are not like them of the world. In every aspect of our life, we are peculiar. Peculiar people. We don't do things the way the world does their own. And so when you are coming to Christ, you will come like Jacob in Genesis 25. Go to Bethel and worship me there. Raise where you raise an altar. The time has come. Okay now. Praise the Lord. Why will he tell his household, put away the strange gods? You can't come to God anyhow. You can't come to Christ anyhow. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. When you come to him, he will dress you up with his righteousness. You can't come anyhow. That's why he will baptize you and wash away your sins first. And every day, he's washing us with the water of his word. What is he using the word to do? Hallelujah. So that he will present us a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians chapter 5 says so. Present us to who? To himself. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we preach these things, we are looking like as if we are talking nonsense. Somebody says, stop criticizing. You, this man, preach the gospel. They send me all manner of text messages. So Apostle Paul had this to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to re-echo it also. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And see my emphasis, verse 3. But if this gospel we are preaching, if our gospel be hid, these are the people it is hidden from. It is hidden to them that are lost. Why? See, the reason why they are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They cannot hear this gospel. We know what has blinded them. They are lost. And what is it that made them to be lost? It is the God of this evil age that has blinded them. And it is mammon. It is mammon. It is money. What is mammon? Mammon is the pursuit of wealth. That is the definition. The pursuit of wealth is mammon. Devotion. Devotion to wealth. Material wealth is mammon. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They are the ones that Apostle Paul spoke about their heart being darkened in Ephesians chapter 4. Their understanding has been darkened. Darkened by what? Darkened by this mammon. When God himself, hallelujah, tells us, let's read it. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. I think it's in Matthew chapter 6. This is what he said from verse 19. These are the words of Jesus himself. He said, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But where should you lay up your treasure? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. And we are talking about devotion. Devotion. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. My emphasis. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is why I say mammon is devotion to wealth. Serving God is devotion to God. And each of them requires, you know, total attention. Total devotion. You are going to serve God, you must serve him wholly. If you are going to serve, seek for wealth, you will see. You won't even have time to pray for yourself. Because time is going. You don't have time for God. And so, why did he say so? If you will hold on to one, the other one will suffer. That's why he said, you have to hate one and love one. You love one, you hate the other. It is the one you love that you give much attention to. Therefore, I say unto you, verse 25. That's his advice. That you should take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. It's for the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. This life goes beyond what we will eat and what you will wear and the house you will build. Life goes beyond that. And he kept on and on and on. And he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And recently, when I met Brother Cosmos Maduka, he made a statement. Hallelujah. I was saying it jokingly to him that I told my ministers that please, anytime Brother Cosmos you are around, I say anytime Brother Cosmos is around, that some prayer points he cannot join us to pray. So I was telling the minister, please raise prayer point that everybody around can pray, both rich and poor. Amen. This year, before this year finish, you'll be counting millions. What do you want customers to say? And so he told me, he said, Brother Moses, you are correct. Everything I need on earth here, God has given me. I am now seeking the one above. He said, all my attention now is to seek the one above. And people say, money cannot satisfy anybody. Yes, but with God, all things are possible. There's a grace you will receive that you will talk like him. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to see the itinerary of that brother. His itinerary. He was telling me yesterday after the vigil here. He said, for these 6 months, that is, counting the days he was on air, counting the days he was on air, traveling, put the hours together and bring them together to be days, 24 hours in a day, Abby. He said, he tried to look at it. He said, it is 3 whole months of the year. 3 months of the year, he was moving from one place to the other. And can I tell you this? Amen. His itinerary includes, as busy as he is, don't just say you are inviting him for a program. He will look and remove one and put. And come and finish from there. Fly to the airport. He's on his way to China. He's flying back again to attend another one somewhere. And after vigil yesterday, see where he went.
He is the same yesterday, today and forever. In respect to us that respect him. He's not the respecter of any man. If you are willing to surrender to God and suffer in your life, he will transform your life. You will have a reason for existence. You will not live like an animal. You will have an assurance why you came here. I persuade you, take advantage of this. I did this about 46 years ago. I have no reason to regret. We were four in our mother's womb from my mother. I was the least person anybody kept.
Put your hands together. Now that is somebody with the extra grace. God will use this man and condemn all the rich Christians. A brother told me last year, when we started last year, 21 days, we started the 21 days fasting. He said he joined us. From that 21 day fasting that he joined us, he said he didn't break it till the next year, end of the 21 days fasting. He fasted 6 to 6 for 1 year. I said, sir, what are you looking for? He said, I am getting too carnal. I'm staying to prepare myself. I want to live a life. My only hope now, my only desire now is to live a life pleasing before this God. And we were saying something, just discussion, I came back. And he mentioned one of the officials, because we are public, I will not mention his name. That they came to him to buy vehicles from him, and they were telling him to increase the price. Increase the price and give them. He said he told the big man that he came. He said, sorry, we don't do this here. Sorry, we don't do this here. Buy, this is our price. Buy. If you cannot get, go where they will use them to steal government money. And I was looking. In this age, this is a man with extra grace. Would you desire that type of grace? Now, you cannot answer amen. Do you know why you are not answering amen? Because you are looking at yourself. If not me, oh. Because most of us are traders. You know the type of receipt you write. How much make I write for the receipt? How much make I write for the receipt? Then you will come and pay tithe from that type of transaction. For a man in this age to live like that, it takes an extra grace. May God give us that grace. Take note. James chapter 4. Take note. Those of you who are worshipping Mammon. Worshipping Mammon. Mammon, 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 Mammon. James chapter 4 from verse 1. He says, from whence came wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that won your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Now, even when you pray, verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Nothing in that thing you are praying for has a place that will give glory to God. It is always self-gratification. Then, verse 4, my emphasis. You adulterers and adulteresses. It's not talking about a man and a woman. The next verse explains it. What adultery here means. What fornication here means. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is empty with God? So, when a Christian becomes so worldly and gets so devoted to wealth, you are committing fornication, you are committing adultery. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And he added, do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy? 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15. He repeated it here. This is John now speaking. Love not the world. I'm talking about those who worship Mammon. I'm talking about those who devote so much to acquiring wealth and still claim they are waiting to go in the rapture. So when you go, who will you leave it for here? Now, nothing wrong about pursuing wealth, but we're talking about pursuing to the detriment of your soul. We are seeing a billionaire here now. And I forgot to drop this fact that happened in the testimony of Brother Cosmos. Because he said, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that first. He gave us a testimony yesterday. See how he was struggling to come here and pray. He was just coming to be in the presence of God. He said he cannot know that the prayer meeting is going on here where there is a fire prayer going on, then he will stay at the home. He said, if you don't see him here, it's either they have a program that night in their church or he's out of town. And even when he's out of town, he's connected. My two blocked him. He couldn't come. When Pastor Francis called him, he said he was locked up. He turned from my two here, went back again, and followed Todd Melabri, turned round to come here. This is a billionaire, poor man like you, never not in your house to say, you couldn't come for VG, you didn't sleep for house. Brethren, you need that extra oil. He said, while he was struggling in the traffic to come, there was a text message that came from his managing director telling him that a debt that a governor of a state owed him 7 years ago. He said they had already forgotten it because all effort to get it didn't work. So they had already forgotten it. But on his way, coming to church, God touched the heart of the governor. Oh, glory be to God. They saw an alert in their account for 280 something million naira. From nowhere. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He saw it, we brought it. I read the text to everybody to hear. He stood here with microphone during the vigil and gave that testimony. To let you know that when you stay with God, he fights for you. But you are not ashamed to declare who he is. You are not ashamed of him. Hallelujah. He said, Anywhere he goes, he has a permanent badge, Jesus. He wants the whole world to know, his business colleagues everywhere to know which side he belongs. You, your own uncle, why are you ashamed to dress the way you dress? And still claim that you are a Christian. Verse 15. 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what did he say? The love of the Father is not in him. Because you cannot worship God and mammon. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you catch this, then all of you that begin to open your mouth, especially those of us who are ministers, I must ride this type of car. I must. And anytime you say you must, then you are going to do something by all means to get it. I must. I must. I must. Before this year ends, I finish. Before this year ends, I finish. I will. Can't you see how everybody, whether they need it or not, they are buying private jet. Some don't need it. Those who need it is understandable. But some, it is a symbol of arrival. And they quickly go to the net and announce it. We too will now have private jet. And then diverting attention away as if that has anything to do with the gospel. I am not against anybody buying a private jet if you need it. But I'm saying what we are seeing now is not that they need it. It is to show up so that they will belong to a class. And it is enmity with God. Christians, don't do such things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.